next presentation is by Dr. Udom Saw, and he has four other co-authors on this, also from the University of Georgia. Dr. Saw was born in Bangladesh and is educated to an MS degree from Bangladesh in 1987. He earned his PhD in soil chemistry from the University in Japan. And he has been at the University of Georgia now for 3 years.
4 years.
Four years. Harvest. Okay, very good.
All right, good morning, everyone. I'm presenting the second part of the project we are doing here. And I'll be talking about the near-infrared spectroscopic calibration model we developed for the prediction of total carbon, sulfur, and gas energy content of the same two species as Leticia described. So a little background here, as we all know now, that plant biomass may be considered as a renewable source of energy, as it is available in most of the countries in the world, and it is also considered a favorable alternative to fossil fuel because these have less of a negative environmental impact. So let us see how much carbon we produce globally in a year. The estimated world's yearly gross primary production of plant is about 150 petagrams carbon per year. And with all efforts so far, we have been able to produce 14% of the annual gross energy turnover from the plant biomass. And this equates to about 0.9 to 1.5 petagram carbon per year. And that means we are only using less than 1% of the global gross primary production of plant carbon. This means there is a good bit of windows to use the plant biomass as a source of renewable energy to meet the increasing energy demand in the world. So gross calorific value and the carbon content of biomass are the two critical properties of interest in the bioenergy crop. And these two properties, or the content of these two properties, are inherently related to the chemical composition of the plant biomass. The total sulfur content in the plant can also be considered as a useful tool for sulfur management strategies to maximize the biomass production as well as to maximize the sulfur fertilizer use efficiency. So we also know that NIR radiation interacts with various functional groups found in plant biomass, and different covalent bonds present in the biomass contributes the calorific value of the product in the decreasing order of carbon-carbon double bond contributing the most, with OH contributing the least. If you look at the gross calorific value of three major type of compounds you find in the biomass, you can see the extractives, which is mainly the fats, protein, and non-structural carbohydrate like starch and sugars, has the highest gross calorific value in the range of 7.7 to 9.4 kilocalorie per gram. Lignin in the range of 5.6 to 6.4 kilocalorie per gram, and cellulose has the least in the range of 4.1 to 4.7 kilocalorie per gram. So with a worldwide increased energy demand and with a consequent increase in use of biofuel, new technologies and techniques are necessary for three different things, like efficient biomass production, effective and efficient biomass screening process, and also an efficient industrial process for conversion of biomass to bioenergy. So in all these three processes, a non-destructive spectroscopic sensing technique can help to make these three processes very efficient. So in this study, as Leticia described, I'll reiterate some of them. We used these two pine biomass, lobularly pine and slash pine. And we had 276 samples in all from the 8 to 17 years old stain, both natural and cultured, from coastal and Piedmont plain of Georgia. And we had chips of different plant species, plant part, as well as the whole tree. and sample prepared in the same way. It's dried in a low temperature oven, 60 degrees centigrade, then coarse ground passed through 1 millimeter sieve and packed into this kind of circular NIR cell. The scanning was done on the same machine, 6500 scanning monochromator FOS, and we covered both visible and NIR region from 400 to 2500 wavelength at a 2 nanometer interval to give a 1050 data points for each sample. And this is the overlaid spectra of all 276 fine biomass sample. This is a single spectra. You can see the major absorption bonds at different wavelengths representing different functional groups. So this is the table showing the descriptive statistics of the lab values for carbon, sulfur content, and gross energy content of fine biomass in both calibration and validation data set, sample set. You can see here the carbon and the sulfur content varied within a very wide range, while the carbon and gross energy content varied within a relatively narrow range. And this is the program we used in the NIR machine. We used the global program of WinEasy software, and we applied modified partial least square regression, taking the entire wavelength in the visible to near infrared region. We did scatter correction using standard normal variate and detrending. We took second derivative of the log 1 over R. And the gap in the data points for which the derivatives are calculated was 4, and we used 4 data points for first smoothing and 1 data point for the second smoothing. This is the plot of the predicted versus lab values for the carbon content of the pine biomass in the calibration sample set. And I'll talk about the statistics in a summary table at the end. And this is a similar plot of lab values for the sulfur content of pine biomass in the calibration sample set. And this is the plot of the gross energy content of the pine biomass in the calibration set, lab value versus the predicted value. And if you look at this summary table, this shows the various statistical parameters we used to evaluate the model developed. You can see here for all of the three models we developed, we had a very good R-square in both calibration and cross-validation phases with a lower standard error of both calibration and cross-validation. The RSC value, which is considered as an important observation here, you can see it was greater than 2 for all cases. It was as high as 9.46 for the sulfur. And let us see how we did in the external validation. We are taking a group of samples that is independent of the calibration. This is the plot of predicted versus the lab values for the carbon content in the validation sample set. And I'll talk about the statistics later in the summary table. This is a similar plot for the sulfur content in the validation set. And this is another plot for the predicted versus lab values for the gross energy content in the validation set of samples. So if you look at this summary table, and that will tell you the various statistics to evaluate the external validation. You can see here we had a very good coefficient of determination with low standard error of prediction in all cases. And the slopes were pretty close to 1 in most cases. 1 is about 30% off maybe. And RSP value was greater than 2 in all cases. It was as high as about 12 in case of the sulfur. So based on the observation we made, we can say the prediction of biomass gross calorific value, carbon and sulfur content using visible and NIR spectroscopy has the potential to optimize or help these three processes, as mentioned in my introduction. There's a biomass production system, efficient biomass screening process, and the industrial process for conversion of biomass to bioenergy. This study in particular demonstrates that the visible and NIR spectroscopy can be successfully used for rapid evaluation of gross calorific value and carbon and sulfur content. And as Leticia mentioned, these models are kind of preliminary models, and we do feel that this equation developed in this study should be updated, expanded, and improved with the future samples from different tree species and environments covering a wider range of gross calorific value and carbon and sulfur content. Well, I'll stop here, and I and Leticia both will welcome any question if you may have.